the more and more I think about it, the news we got yesterday about Aaron Judge, because I called it good news yesterday. I even went as far as saying I think it was very good news. But to me, the more I think about it, it just feels like news. You know, Aaron Judge, and I don't know why it was a big secret, because when Brian Cashman met the media on Monday, he was very much cloak and dagger about Aaron Judge and whether or not or when he is going to get his next scan, the next imaging. And then we find out basically 48 hours later that Aaron Judge did underwent scans and he has been cleared for light activity. Light activity. Which includes outdoor running. I'm not sure if he can run indoors. Perhaps he hasn't been cleared to run indoors yet. He can only run outdoors. And then something that I'm not really sure what this means, upper body resistance. What is that supposed to mean? Is that push-ups? Can we speak English? Can we translate this to something that we all understand? It's upper body resistance. I have no idea what that means. I really don't. But it is a situation where it's not the ultimate news that you're looking to hear. It is not the type of news that we have all been waiting for on Aaron Judge, which is cleared for baseball activity. He could start swinging a bat. He could start ramping up. He can start getting back to the field of play and where we would see Aaron Judge in about a month. Because remember, he's still got to go through basically a spring training. So this is a step to get to the next step, the shirt before the shirt. But we could be a long way away from Aaron Judge being cleared for full baseball activity, because right now it is outdoor running. We're not sure about indoor running and upper body resistance, which I have no idea what that means. I don't know if that's Aaron Boone speak, but it doesn't sound like Aaron Judge is where he needs to be to start his full kind of rehab and getting back to a baseball field. So I have been as optimistic as anybody when it comes to Judge as far as his return. I originally had it for mid-August, then I pushed it to early September, and now I would say late September, the best case scenario. Which means that Judge is not going to get a lot of reps, he's not going to get his sea legs, he's not going to get a lot of at-bats under his belt before October starts. And look, the Yankees obviously need Aaron Judge, and it was on full display last night as the Cardinals tried to hand the Yankees a victory over and over and over again. And I thought last night was just a total indictment on both Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman. The fact that Ollie Sanchez is up in a big spot is really just further proof that Brian Cashman had an underwhelming, incomplete trade deadline. The Yankees had multiple opportunities to acquire a catcher. And not only did they swing and miss on a catcher, but they allowed Boston and Tampa to get catchers. So the competition that's in your division, and don't look now, the Red Sox are tied with you in the loss column, and they are, what, 31-6 in their, or 31-5 in their last 36 games? They've been on an all-time heater. They are that, who was that stiff in Casino with Sharon Stone, where she like robs him blind afterwards, takes all his money. I felt like they were on this like all-time heater at the start of that movie. Ginger, how do you expect me to get your money back after the way you treated this guy? And that's what it feels like. The Red Sox haven't lost the game since February. And that's why these games are so critical, because not only are you looking up at Tampa, but you're looking now to the side of you and you see Boston. So every game is, and I don't mean this to be hyperbolic, is monumental. And that's why in a critical spot in the ninth inning, Ollie Sanchez being at the plate, or better yet, even being on this roster, is embarrassing. And then there's Aaron Boone. You take your best hitter out of the game in Luis Garcia Jr., and you set up a scenario where Sanchez has the bat in his hands in the ninth inning, which gave me flashbacks to earlier in the year when J.C. Ascaro was up at the plate and Aaron Boone, instead of pinch hitting, instead of just not having him in the game or doing something, because let's be real, Sanchez, Ascaro, these guys are not major leaguers. And yet, here we are after the trade deadline, and the Yankees are basically without a catcher. And they let one slip through their fingertips last night as far as a game that they, you know, look, St. Louis is not that good. And they took 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium. It's a problem, this offense. And it was something that should have been addressed more at the trade deadline. The more I think about it, Luis Arraez, put him at second base, move Jazz to the outfield, put Ben Rice at catcher. Why does everything have to be just such a closed door? Well, the market moved away from us, and we don't want to catch Ben Rice, and we love Trent Grisham. It's like, dude, Trent Grisham is a stiff. He stinks. Ryan McMahon should be a backup at this point. You have no offensive production at catcher. Wells is barely a major leaguer. Certainly offensively this year he hasn't been one. Your backup catcher is not a major leaguer. The bloom is off the rose now for Goldschmidt and Caballero, which is understandable. I mean, Caballero in terms of his skill set and Goldschmidt in terms of his age, these are the type of players that the more playing time they get, the more their warts are going to show. And that's exactly what has happened with both of them. There's not enough contact. There's not enough non-strikeouts, non-swing and misses. There's not enough put the ball in play. And the trade deadline was sort of the last, because, yeah, you want to put all your hopes in. And I know Aaron Judge, he pulled at Arnold Schwarzenegger yesterday in The Terminator. And he said that he'll be back. Okay. But until you are back, those are just words. And words don't win baseball games. And words don't score runs. Or as Aaron Boone likes to say, points. Well, here's a point. The point is that Trent Grisham is not a major leaguer at this point. And the fact that he is batting leadoff is just mind-numbingly stupid. And then you have other players on this team that you're not getting any production out of third. You're not getting any production out of catcher. You're not getting any production out of center. And I understand that George Lombard Jr. looks the part. He certainly has the pedigree. The defense is all world. I mean, it doesn't take long to find out. And he came with that sort of reputation that he was going to be basically a gold glover in this sport. And he looks like a walking gold glove. That's how good he has been right out of the gate. And Lombard showed within a play in his debut that he is miles ahead of Anthony Volpe. And I believe Volpe's Yankee career is over. Same thing with Dominguez. This idea that you're going to move Volpe somewhere else and play another position, he can't hit. He's not good. So you could throw him over at second base, great, but he has zero offensive production. I think his days with the Yankees are over. Perhaps he could be a utility player or perhaps a second baseman for a different team somewhere down the line. Dominguez, same sort of thing. I think his time with the Yankees is over. He's got a very low baseball IQ. How many times does he take the wrong angle on a ball? How many times does he overslide a base? So you were able to cut some dead weight at the trade deadline, but you didn't do enough. You didn't do enough to improve this offense. Look, the Yankees have a championship rotation. They have a championship pitching staff. But I fear that this bullpen is going to be very, very, very much running on E by the time we get to October. I understand the idea of putting Clark Schmidt in the pen. I understand the idea of putting Weathers in the pen. I understand the idea of putting Warren in the pen. Those things sound great on paper. Just like getting Stanton and Judge back sound great on paper. Same thing with Bellinger. But paper is not going to win you a championship. And right now, the way things are going, the Yankees are not only a wild card team, but they could be looking at a series in Boston, 3-game set, where even if the Yankees get out of there and they survive it, what are they going to have left in the tank after that? Cashman needed to go the extra mile at the deadline. He needed to shake things up. He needed to do something different, something we haven't seen in a long time from him and from the Yankees. It was incomplete, just like a lot of these off seasons have been incomplete. Heck, the reason you don't have a third baseman is because years ago when you could have signed Alex Bregman, you didn't. And you've left a black hole over there at third base. Grisham, we all first guessed as far as the qualifying offer, and that situation out there is an abomination. And I said this weeks ago, Wells should have been sent somewhere, you know, whether you send him down, DFA, whatever the case may be. And I don't want to hear that he's been hitting over the last couple weeks. I sure hope so. I mean, he hasn't hit for 4 months. I would think he'd have two hot weeks. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame because he's had two hot weeks at the plate. I said Wells should go, Volpe should go, Grisham should go, and Dominguez. Now, they listen to some of that, but the fact that Grisham is still on this team. And then here's the other little dirty secret. When Stanton comes back, and let's just say he does, and I would imagine the Yankees are just sick of his act. I mean, the guy is on a summer sabbatical and summer vacation every year like the rest of us, I guess, except he works in the summer. It's one thing for the rest of us that work 12 months out of the year to take a summer sabbatical. It's another thing for Stanton, who his job is in the summer, and he decides, I think I'll just go on a summer vacation. I'll see you in October. The guy's been out since the first round of the NBA playoffs. Knicks Hawks. That's the last time we saw Stanton. And it's gotten to the point now where the updates on him, or lack thereof, have become comical. And we've played the game before, and I didn't hear anything from Boone this week that would give us a new edition of where we play the role of Aaron Boone is us. Let's say we're married guys. Like, I'm a married guy. I imagine a lot of people in the audience are married guys. And then I, in this case, would play the role of our wives. And we would ask a question, and then we would have Aaron Boone speak, answer that question, and we'll find out if that's going to put you on the couch at night. More often than not, it does. But I didn't hear anything from Boone this week that was a real pull-your-hair-out type of thing. But just the managerial decision last night, I don't get it. Luis Garcia Jr. was brought here to save this offense. He's got a live bat. He's having a career year. And we get to the ninth inning, and he's nowhere to be found. Instead, with the game on the line, where the Cardinals are trying to hand you the game, they're walking the ballpark. They're doing everything in their power with a bad... And usually the Yankees take care of teams like St. Louis. They can't hit, and their bullpen stinks. That's usually made to order for the Yankees. But yet they couldn't take advantage. And with the game on the line, no Luis Garcia Jr. Instead, you get Ally Sanchez, which is an indictment on Boone for his managerial blunder and an indictment on Brian Cashman for not having a catcher here, a professional catcher. So Sanchez wouldn't even be around. You know, I said last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, when Ally Sanchez threw the ball into left field in Chicago, and Aaron Boone, I thought, had a golden opportunity there to not necessarily throw Sanchez under the bus, but to just say, hey, he should have put the ball in his back pocket. Bad decision. We love Ally. He'll learn from this. We'll all learn from this, and we'll march on accordingly. But no, instead, Aaron was talking more about the throw itself that he one-hopped it instead of the decision. It was more about the decision, not the execution of it. And I said it was a golden opportunity to not overly criticize, but just to sort of, you know, publicly say that that was the wrong thing to do. Because it's a player in Ally Sanchez that's not going to be around after the trade deadline. Well, here we are in the ninth inning after the trade deadline, and wouldn't you know it, Sanchez is at the plate in a big spot with the game on the line. The Yankees needed at least another bat at the deadline. They needed at least another bullpen arm, and they did not do that. The Dodgers did not need Tarek Skubal, but you said, you know, why not? That's what they said. Sure. It's like if you go out to a restaurant and you're with somebody that is rich, or they like to pretend like they're rich, and steakhouse or whatever, and they do all the ordering. And it's, oh, we'll take this, we'll take this, we'll take this, we'll take this, we'll take this. It's like, we're not going to eat all this food. But it's excess. It used to be excess with the Yankees, and now it's, well, the market moves this way, and we were in the aisle for this, but, you know, in the aisle, you weren't going to buy milk or cereal or graham crackers. You're trying to get a catcher, a major league catcher. No, hey, it moved away from us, a wrong aisle, or we were in this aisle, and it went to the... You allowed Boston, and I don't care what the price tag is. Since when is that a thing? Did I miss something? Maybe I did. Maybe I'm Encino Man or whatever that movie was with Brendan Fraser where he was, I don't think it was Encino Man. What was the movie where he was locked in the basement forever? I forgot the name of that movie. With Christopher Walken. Yeah, I gotta Google that one. I don't remember the name of it. But anywho, he's basically sheltered his entire life and then all of a sudden he's out in the open. Maybe I've been away for a while and nobody went up there and told me. But since when does price tag and all those things have anything to do with how the way the Yankees conduct their business with personnel? And then Hicks goes to the Rays. And the Yankees were left at the altar. Cashman was left holding the bag. And then you have this whole thing with Judge yesterday, which was, like I said, the more I thought about it, it was bizarre. Because 2 days earlier, Brian Cashman was asked about this, about when the next scan might be, and he didn't want to say anything. Well, they weren't asking you where Area 51 is or if we had landed on the moon or not back in the day. They were asking you if a player on the team got a scan. Well, a player on the team. The best player on the team. And yet 2 days later, we need the big press conference with Aaron Judge where he's acting like Arnold Schwarzenegger and saying, I'll be back. Okay? But yeah, you've only been cleared to do outdoor running. Not sure about indoor running. And let me bring this up again because this is the type of verbiage, and this is from Aaron Boone, so no real surprise here that none of us can understand it. Upper body resistance. He's been cleared for upper body resistance. That sounds good. Like, imagine going to the doctor and be like, Doc, you know, man, the back's been bothering me. Sciatica, the whole thing. He goes, well, don't worry. We're going to try to see if you can get cleared for upper body resistance. You'd say, excuse me? I don't know what that means. Can you please translate that? Upper body resistance. And then as far as Stanton, I mean, you keep hearing that he's running. Right, he's running, so he's alive. That's good to know. I mean, but what does that mean? He's running around? So he's living on this earth. He's doing earth activities. We're here to report that Giancarlo Stanton is doing earth activities. We're not sure about baseball activities, which really is also kind of a weird thing because to me, you say baseball activities. Let's be real. 90% of baseball activities is just standing or sitting. Like if you are a baseball player, right, and you are, let's forget what you do before the game or after the game, but during the game, this is what baseball activity is for most baseball players, non-pitchers and non-catchers during a game. You stand there, you look around, you try to see if there are any pretty girls in the seats, you stand some more, perhaps a little ball is hit to you and you jog over to it and catch it, then you throw it. But perhaps that doesn't happen, and then you jog back to the dugout. You then sit there. Maybe you stand up, you pick up a piece of wood, and then you walk to a plate, and then you stand there, and then you swing that piece of wood, and maybe you run after that. And then you go back to sitting down again. And then from sitting, you go back to standing again. I mean, you can't be clear for baseball activities. But yet you're clear for, what is this underwater resistance? What is it called? Upper body resistance. That's what he's clear for. Good. It's not the news that we were all looking for or thought we would get. And wasn't it supposed to be the next scan was supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks after he originally got hurt, which is what, early June? So are we on that timetable? Let me do the quick math here. All right, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. But I thought he was supposed to go. It's confusing. He was supposed to go during the All-Star break. I thought we were supposed to get an update there. Then we didn't get an update, and then he went now. But I was expecting around this time period for him to have already been cleared and already on the way back. meaning Aaron Judge will make his debut mid-August, or I should say his re-debut for the season. Feels like his debut because it says, I mean, him and Stanton. I got to remember now that Judge wasn't even on the team this year. Stanton, forget about it. I mean, he basically played spring training. We haven't seen him since. Okay, that's all the bad stuff. Here's the good stuff. I still think the Yankees are going to the World Series. I do. Now, my confidence level is not as high as it was even a couple of weeks ago. But I still, if you said Yankees field, who's getting the World Series out of the American League? And this is keeping in mind that Boston is on an all-time heater. They're my buddy that produces this show, Nick Papagiorgio. Put a dollar and I want a car. Put a dollar and I want a car. They can't lose. If they were a person, I would bring them to Vegas with me. Speaking of Vegas, I haven't heard from Paul in Yonkers in a while. He's supposed to put me up in Vegas. We're supposed to, at least from what I gather, you know, a couple weeks ago, it feels like even a couple of months ago, Paul in Yonkers called me up and he invited me out to Vegas, Sin City, for the first weekend of the NFL season. Now, he's going for like a week. I can't go for a week. But he invited me for the first weekend. And what I said to him is, listen, I'll think about it. But I have, they're small, but 20 to 25 small demands that need to be met. I need a limo that picks me up at the airport, and the temperature inside that limo needs to be 67 degrees exactly. Not 66, not 69, although that is a good number. Not 68, not 72, 67. I then need a suite at the Bellagio. I also need a table at the nightclub Excess. I also need a table at the pool club, Encore Beach Club. These are just a few. And remember, these are simple things. And I haven't heard from Paul in weeks. I hope everything's all right. I've said his name a few times. I feel like with Paul, he put out the bat signal and he usually calls in. But I haven't heard from this guy. He's ghosted me. So like I said, I hope everything's all right. Because we're now inching closer and closer to football. Oh, by the way, football, well, sort of, starts tonight. The Hall of Fame game, and I don't do this. Not that listen, I wouldn't shame you one way or the other. I just don't do this because I just don't. But I do have friends that bet on the Hall of Fame game. Now, in fairness to them, you are so football starved at this point. We are in the dog days of summer, and my sweat was sweating today. It was so humid. And I like hot weather. But it was way too hot. Like I said, my sweat was literally sweating. It was very balmy out there. We're in the dog days of summer, and this is what you get on the Big Lugowski. You basically get streams of consciousness from me. I feel like working in this business all these years, there's sort of this, and this is not just people in the business, but also sports fans in general, and we are all sports fans, but all of us collectively in the sports community. There is this feeling that February is the worst sports month. I disagree with that. I understand the weather sucks, unless you like the winter, which in that case you need to have your head examined, but the sports in February is actually good, and there's a lot of it. There's basketball, there's hockey, there's college hoops, there's the Super Bowl. So I don't think February is the worst or slowest sports month. I would argue July is. What's going on in July? Baseball? Day in and day out? The activity I just described where people stand up, sit down, I mean, that's all that's going on. I guess there's a soccer match going, probably, the Premier League or whatever, but you get my drift. And same thing with August. But at least you get preseason football. So for those that are betting on the Hall of Fame game tonight, and there's a lot of you, it's not so much that, because if this was the second preseason game, you probably wouldn't be. But it's the first sign of football since February. And for football fans, and we all are football fans, and football does an amazing job of marketing itself, including people betting on the Hall of Fame game. If it's football we're watching, literally guys run around in spandex around cones and they throw footballs through a tire and they call it the combine and millions of people watch that. guys awkwardly walk across the stage to awkwardly hug, bro hug Roger Goodell, and they call it the draft. Millions upon millions of people watch it, and millions upon millions of people go to it. And it's not like they hold the draft in Paris. They hold it in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, the only time I'd ever go to Green Bay, Wisconsin is for a layover. What the heck am I doing out there? To go see Lambeau Field? All right, I'll watch it on TV. That's enough for me. But it's the first sign of football. And we'll get into football throughout the night here. Like I said, the Hall of Fame game is tonight. And you can call me Tommy Football. You know, there's many, many shades and different types of Tommy. This is a five-hour after hours, which means it's a big Lugowski. Look, I believe in full transparency. And I like to think that I let the audience in. I peel the curtain back. If it goes through my brain, I just say it on the air. Or if it happens off the air, I'll just say it on the air, especially if it has something to do with me. And during the break, you know, I went into the control room here, which is really opposite of the studio. It's where the producers are, the board ops, where they hit all the buttons, screen all the calls. So I walked in there and I said, did I just go 30 straight minutes for an open? And they're like, yeah. They're like, oh, you were just on a roll. We didn't want to give you the break sign, which is totally fine. We could run a little bit of a loose clock here. And I said, yeah, I don't know what it is when I do these 7 to midnights. And I don't know what word I was going for, but it definitely wasn't this word, but this is what came out of my mouth. I said, yeah, my libido is up at 7 o'clock, which is obviously not the right word. And if kids are in the car right now, just tell parents, just say Uncle Loogie is just talking nonsense right now. Don't worry about it. But yeah, I was like, my libido is up at 7 o'clock, which obviously is not, it certainly shouldn't be the case when you're talking sports. But I want to say my energy is through the roof when I come on at 7 o'clock. When I come on more at midnight, it's more like, and the pickles, and the pickles. I was thinking about Dane Cook the other day, by the way. I know why. Because, and I'm right in that Dane Cook range where I was in college when he was at the height of his popularity. And say what you want about him as a comedian or whatever the case may be. But very few people, it's him and essentially Dice Clay that have sold out Madison Square Garden. So his popularity when he was at his peak was through the roof for a comedian. But he had that bit with he thought he was the Burger King. But yeah, at midnight, my tongue gets tied like every 3 to 4 minutes. And then I said, maybe it's because the lights are off in the studio. But the lights we have on the studio right now are very much like I'm getting interrogated or I'm at a doctor's office. So they're just a little too bright. But when I'm doing a show here for the overnight, the one overnight I do a week, I'm basically in the dark. I'm basically, I don't even know. If you ever want to see Positive Tommy again, you will tell him to stop being positive. Speaking of libido, Nico Scarlatos is here. He's producing. Nico, do me a huge favor, because I know Rosenberg's not here, Connor Green's not here, but I have a calendar. I just need you on that calendar for today, August 6th. Just star it like 6 times. Actually, start like 27 times on each side, and then underline it and write, reminder, unfollow Sydney Sweeney and Ella Langley on Instagram. Can you do that for me?
I'll take care of it.
Thank you. Because it is hurting my show prep. And is there anyone else probably that I need to unfollow? Let me just look real quickly. Actually, well, yeah. The best thing is to just take the phone away from me. That's really the best thing to take away from me, because I really should be thinking about the show during breaks, before the show. And I go on Instagram and I got Ella and I got Sydney, among others, including Hillary Duff too, who's at Madison Square. I'll get to that in a little bit coming up, because when I take the train for these big Lugowskis, I'm always prepared for concerts because it's concert season, and I can always tell. You could tell the kind of crowd that when it's Bon Jovi, and you could tell the crowd when it's a country singer. It's a little bit in the attire. I'll just put it at that. But I'll just get into it now. Why not? I don't have kids. I don't. But if you are a father and you have, let's just say you have teenage daughters, and they're like, Daddy, I want to go to the Hillary Duff concert. And they're like, all right, well, you're a little too young, so I'm going to go with you. Mom doesn't want to go. And then you as the father, and let's just say you're right around my age, whatever it is, 35, 40. And then you go to these concerts where it's basically a bunch of 20-year-old, 30-year-old, maybe even 40-year-old women walking around basically with nothing on. And you know, you're a married guy, you're an old fart, and you have to just basically, you don't know any of the songs, and you can't look because they're going to be, Daddy, what are you staring at? Well, Mommy used to look that good. But it's I'm just sitting there at Penn Station going, what is happening right now? I knew right away when I saw the outfits. I go, who's at Madison Square Garden tonight? I look at my phone. It's Hillary Duff. I was like, yeah, it's not going to be a rock band from the 70s. I can tell you that much. The Grateful Dead's not here. Fish is not here. Rush is not here. It's a little bit different clientele. But boy, like I said, I feel for all the fathers that are in that position. It's the same type of thing. Actually, it's not the same type of thing, but I've always had this rule of thumb. And that is, if you are dating, so like if you are, forget even if, never bring your girlfriend to a sporting event. That is just a major mistake, because you might as well put the meat in the lion's den. And guys, you know, guys don't care. They'll just outwardly say something. Like, I was walking around one time with my wife at Citi Field, and no joke, and I heard it too, and you're right, I didn't do anything about it. Some guy, like, behind us, staring at my wife's tuchus, said, God bless America. And I said, yeah, you're right, but you know what? I was like, next time you're staying home. Yeah, I can't bring you to these events. It's maybe if you just started dating the girl, because then you're parading around. But when it's like fiance or girlfriend for a while or wife, yeah, you don't want to do that. But this Hillary Duff concert, I couldn't believe it. And then there was a country singer at Barclays a couple weeks ago. I forgot her name. Who is the gal that is dating Christian Pulisic? I can't think of her name right now. She's a huge country star, though. I think she just kind of, I don't know if she's dating Pulisic, but there's rumors that they're dating. But I had not heard of her. And obviously, you hear the rejoins on this station. I'm a huge EDM. That's like my number one music that I've loved my entire life. But I do have, believe it or not, an eclectic movie taste. And I've been more of a country fan. Like, I've been to Nashville a couple times over the last few years. And Nashville is, if you haven't been, it's heaven on earth. I mean, you start out at Tootsie's, and then you work your way down. You go to Jason Aldean's. You go to Morgan Wallen's. The big country stars all have bars down there. Multi-level, the rooftop. Some of the places turn into a club at night. But yeah, you want to start out at Tootsie's because it's an iconic venue, and then you kind of work your way down Broadway. You go to the stage, you go to Dierks Bentley, you go to Morgan Wallen, you go to Jason Aldean's, you go to Honky Tonk Central, you go to the Garth Brooks spot that's down there. They're all amazing, by the way. Some of them are not my scene. I shouldn't say that. Some of them, but they could be your scene. They're just not my scene. You know what I mean? If there's like line dancing, I'm kind of looking for an exit. But I've gotten more into the country music. I'll find this gal's name. I forgot. A rumored girlfriend here. Let's see if anything comes up. Yeah, it's coming up right now. Megan Maroney. That's her name. Megan Maroney. Is that how it is? Let me think here. Let's do a double check. We'll get to sports here in a second. Yes, Megan Maroney. That's who. I had not heard of her until the Pulisic stuff, and I wish I had heard of her. Let's put it that way. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Here's the positive. I think the Yankees are going to the World Series, but my confidence level is not what it was about a month ago with the surging Red Sox, with this Aaron Judge stuff that we got yesterday, which, look, a couple days before that, I was starting to doubt whether Aaron Judge was going to return this season. And then once that story came out yesterday that he's been cleared for light activity, I said, whoa, good news. He'll be back. And then the more I thought about it, I slept on it. I woke up. I kind of let it marinate. The more I'm still feeling a little pessimistic on it because he hasn't been fully cleared for baseball activity. And that is important. And until he does that, and until he is cleared for baseball activity, he's not going to be able to ramp up and play baseball this year. And you figure he's going to need about a month before he returns. Once he is cleared. And we're running out of daylight. It is early August now. And the baseball season, regular season, only has about a month and change. Because I think October postseason starts. I'll talk to my postseason guys, my schedule people here. I apologize, I don't memorize the schedule. For those that memorize schedules, you can listen to Evan and Tiki between 10 and 2, as Sean Marash knows not only every team the Giants are playing this year, every week they're playing, but he could recite every game that the Giants have played over the last 30 years. I, for one, choose to have a life and don't remember that, and Evan can tell you who the Mets are playing next July. I can't, I really can't, but I barely know who they're playing next week. Same thing with the Yankees. I kind of just go schedule, as far as the schedule, sort of series by series. But I believe the season ends at the end of September, which doesn't leave a lot of time for Judge to return. Let's head to Moose. He joins us from Jamaica's leading off here on After Hours. It is Positive Tommy in prime time, by the way. What's going on, Moose?
La, 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 Loogie.
What's happening?
Yo. So, on this five-hour lasagna, right? The hour block.
Yeah, Moose, let me ask you a question. If you speaking of lasagna, if you stack multiple pieces of lasagna on top of each other, like slices, is that one lasagna, or would you consider that four lasagnas on top of each other?
No, it's one lasagna.
I agree.
It's a matter of how you bake it.
Once it's cooked and then you slice it up, if you take like four slices and then you stack them, would you consider that one piece of lasagna or four pieces of lasagna stacked on top of each other?
It depends. Did you cook it separately or did you cook it as one lasagna?
I cooked it as one lasagna.
Well, it's one lasagna.
I agree with you. But there are people that don't. Like, that is one of those. That's like an STD. That's the settled debate. That's one of the ones that we do here on the show, you know, when I'm here to settle your debate. But one of those is the lasagna one. But I'm on the side of that it's still one sort of slice or whatever you want to call it of lasagna.
To each its own, even more so. It's personal proclivity. That's how the world works.
Yes, proclivity is way too big of a word. Yeah, proclivity is way too big of a word, but I assume you mean by based on your sort of your viewpoint?
Preference.
Yes, preference. Got it.
Yes, yeah. But based on that, like, and as I was trying to exercise a little bit of optimism, as you obviously exude quite magnificently, almost immaculately, by saying it's Nixon 26,
yes.
I was trying to explain that same level of positivity when it came to Judge when I called during the All-Star break.
Yep.
And I even jumped out the window, so to speak, and predicted he'd be back between the 8th of August and the 18th. And it's looking closer to that than more not.
You think he's going to be back in August? I don't see that.
Well, it's looking like maybe beginning of September, depending on the nature of the ramping up of the baseball activities.
I would say the earliest.
Ultimately, rehab assignment is necessary or the dire need for him to be in the lineup is going to surpass that. But basically, you know, to be Mr. Brightside, so to speak, none of the lineups in the AL scare me when it comes to the Yankees starting pitching and go to bullpen in short series.
Boston has the strong pitching too, and Tampa's pitching is pretty good. But listen, the Yankees pitching can go toe to toe with anybody, including I think the Dodgers.
Obviously, and it's like none of the lineups in the AL really scare me. I mean, we'll see a test coming up with this series in the weekend with the Braves. Another World Series. It seems like we're. July and this part of August is the World Series previews or matchups or whatever for the Yankees. So we'll see what happens. Thanks for taking my call, Lou.
Yeah, you got it, Moose. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Positive Tommy here in prime time. Football is back and you can call me, you know, you could call me Tommy Football. And as you know, there are many Tommies, and you never really know which Tommy you're going to get. Tommy the Mama's Boy.
Tommy the Legend.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Steve. He joins us next here on The Fan. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Tommy. Nice to speak with you.
You too.
Just give me a second before I get to the Yankees point.
Yeah.
I'm up here in the Boston area, native New Yorker, getting treated for cancer. A year ago, they told me I had a year or two years to live. So I don't think I have too many more Yankee seasons or postseasons
in me.
Well,
Steve, you keep fighting. I mean, there's plenty of people that have been told that and sort of bucked what the doctors had said. So don't ever let a doctor tell you that. You know, you fight. That's my best thing that I could say to you.
Well, thank you. Your optimism is good. And, you know, your humor and everything is so good at the end of the night.
You're
comparing it to, you know, relationships, movies, whatever it is. You know, I keep the fan on 24 hours because I wake up at all kinds of different hours. And it's just great to have something to kind of turn to. My point here is this. I tried to call in last off season.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it on the head. The Yankees trying to sell, you know, this whole run back thing, you know, and you mentioned Bregman before. I wanted him. The fact that they put so much stress on their deadline this year because of the moves they didn't make.
Bingo.
And it's still outrageous that they let things go by. I mean, they're going to fall into the third potentially wild card or whatever it is, and then really put themselves in a precarious situation. And just I want to get your opinion on this. I'm not mad at Boone. I'm not mad at Cashman. I'm frustrated by the Steinbrenners. The Yankees have two World Series appearances since 2003. Companies make changes all the time. You get into companies, they say, change is inevitable. Yeah. WFAN makes lineup changes, things like that. Don't you think it's time for a change up top?
Yes, and Steve, good luck to you. Like I said, keep fighting. The Yankees, and I brought this up in the offseason, and look, I stand by it. And that is, when you finish the way the Yankees finished last year, and you lose in the divisional round to a team that had your number all year, a team in your division, and you once again did not win a championship, and then you follow that with an offseason where you run it back, and it didn't have the vibe of, let's say, the Knicks running it back, even before they won a championship. Right? Like, it didn't feel like, okay, this isn't necessarily a team on the rise. It just felt like, okay, this is the status quo Yankees. And in some ways, it feels like, and I've brought this up a million times, where the Yankees are, and I'm saying like the organization, whatever, they're content with, we win 90 plus games a year, place is packed, we are a global brand, we provide such great entertainment, there's home runs, there's all this stuff, it's like a great show, and we get to October, and well, you know, maybe we win a round, maybe we win another round, and perhaps, hey, one of these days, we'll win a World Series. But it's not life or death anymore about winning or keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the Dodgers. Just over the last couple of years, the Yankees have basically been eliminated in October by every team in their division. And there's almost sometimes like a malaise about it, and they're content. There's a comfort in, and the reason why I can be critical and a lot of people could be critical is because you know there could be so much better and they could be so much more because we've seen it and we know they have the resources. So when they don't do it, it's frustrating because it's almost like that player where they're just so naturally good that they end up having a good career, but they could have had a great career if they really, really went the extra mile and really put all their TLC into it. Or they were a great player and they could have been a legendary player. It's like almost like the Yankees get to a certain point and they're like, all right, we've reached our goal for the season, we're good. And for most franchises out there, yeah, they would sign for that in a nanosecond. Of course. I mean, the Dodgers, yeah, they're the gold standard now, but there were plenty of years where the Dodgers were not, including this venture here with this new ownership that took a long, like everybody thinks you snap your fingers and the Dodgers have been this great team, you know, overnight. The Dodgers at one point, I mean, let's just call it like it is. The Dodgers at one point were where the Mets are now, where everybody's like, huh, they spend all this money, they're a joke, they don't win, they'll never win. And then now look where the Dodgers are. So it took them kind of time to do that. Point is, the Yankees have been finishing over 500 since the early 90s, which is an incredible achievement. And that says a lot about the culture of the team and the organization. Yes, they have mastered the 162. They have gotten that down to a science, winning regular season games, getting to October, being this just brand with the... They have just gotten that down to a total science. But when it was all about winning, the Yankees would have traded for a catcher a couple of days ago. When it was all about winning, they wouldn't have ran it back in the offseason. The Dodgers won back-to-back World Series. Back-to-back. If any team was in a situation to run it back, it would be the Dodgers. Look at what they've done since the offseason. And I'm not saying everything has paid off, but still, they signed Tucker, they signed Diaz, and they traded for Skubal. The Yankees have basically ran their team back, and I like the Garcia move, but outside of that, what, Elliot Ramos? I mean, see the difference? And there's no reason that the Yankees can't operate like that. And you have Boston just surging here, and the sense of urgency, which never exists with the Yankees, is not there. Because if it is there, Ollie Sanchez would not be at the plate in the ninth inning in a game that you, I don't know, at this point, need to have. Because the more losses that continue to pile up, the less and less likely it is you're going to win the division. And Boston is just, they're unstoppable right now. And that's just the American League. So that's more just the mentality that I think the, obviously with their talent and their rotation, and Judge comes back and he could be, but you know what? Let's just play it out. Aaron Judge returns to the lineup in mid-September. I think that's a fair return date at this point. He comes back mid-September, let's just say for the Subway Series, which is September 11th weekend, first weekend of the NFL season. Let's say that's when Judge returns. It is far from a given that Aaron Judge will be peak Aaron Judge when he returns. Now, of course, it'll take him even at 70%, but the point is, there's no guarantee that Aaron Judge is going to get back to the lineup, period, and then when he does, there's no guarantee he's going to be the Aaron Judge that we all know and love. One of the great players, let's be honest, like ever. And the other thing, too, is that, and you, I think it was you or it was the caller prior to that, the construction of the lineup. You know, when, let's just say Stanton comes back, too, you're going to have a log jam. You have too many DHs, and that goes into the lineup construction. It's too late now, but I would have liked to have seen the Yankees trade for Luis Arraez, move Jazz to center field, and at least put Ben Rice at catcher. It doesn't have to be every day, but at times put him at catcher. Get rid of Grisham, fizzle out the playing time of Wells. And try to eliminate as much dead weight as humanly possible. The Yankees did some of that. They did not do all that, which is my overall point here. They do some of it. They don't do all of it. There feels like there's never any desperation. Well, why would there be? They win 90-something games a year, and they're the Yankees. You don't have to be desperate. You're not as hungry when you're on top. And you've been on top for so long. The hunger's not there anymore. It's just we need to get to a certain point. And then once we get there, we're good. They used to be more. And look, I don't like to say that compare, meaning like player-wise, I don't like to compare. So like with Lombard, I said he needs to be the first George Lombard Jr., not the next Derek Jeter. So I hate comparing a player to a... because those 90 Yankees were so special, it's just, it's unfair. But just the way the Yankees used to conduct themselves, that can be compared to the way they conduct themselves now. 888-808, and it's totally different. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy, here in prime time. We'll get back to your calls on the Yankees. We'll mix in some Met talk as they swept the Guardians. I want to get into the meeting that took place between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor that was brokered by Freddie Peralta, the now departed to Tampa Freddie Peralta. We will get into some football as well, as football is back tonight. It is the Hall of Fame game. So for those of you that have missed any form, it's not the regular season. It's not even the Giants or Jets, but it's some type of football on your television. Football is back, and I guess you can call me tonight, Tommy Football. So the number to join, it is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours, a 5-hour After Hours, so a big Lugowski right here on The Fan.